Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Thursday. Actually, a lot of good topics today on a Thursday. Live in Los Angeles, it's the Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me on a Thursday. We just saw the Seahawks make a move from the Cowboys. Bad news for LaMarcus Aldridge. He is, well, maybe not bad news for him. He's retiring. He's got a lot of stacks of money. He's fine. He's happy. He's retiring, so Brooklyn, a very noisy team this year, has another thing they have to deal with. What a year for Brooklyn. The noisiest NBA team in years.
Noisiest, and a lot of kind of manufactured angst and hate from the rest of the NBA. But listen, the NBA Finals, no matter who makes it at this point, is going to be very, very interesting.
It is. Let's start with this. So it is official. Jadeveon Clowney is now a member of the Cleveland Browns. Don't listen to the critics. He can play. He's not as good as you thought he would be out of college, but he can play. This now means Cleveland has 10 former first-round picks and 3 former number one picks. Nobody else can say that. Baker, there's only 2 things keeping this Cleveland Brown team from getting to a Super Bowl. Injuries, which absolutely nobody can predict, and the quarterback. Because I can think of about 8, 9, 10 quarterbacks that if you gave these edge rushers to, can you imagine if Dak Prescott, beyond his offensive personnel, had the best O-line and this defense? This is a championship team, and only 2 things will stop it, Baker or injuries. And so far, both are hard to predict. Here's a fact. In the last 20 years in the NFL, this is a fact. If you make more than Tom Brady at quarterback, you cannot win a Super Bowl unless your last name is Manning. So you either have to be a veteran taking a massive pay cut. Aaron Rodgers won't. Doesn't win the Super Bowl. Russell Wilson won't. Drew Brees did, and then he won a Super Bowl. Or you have to be a quarterback on your rookie deal. And it's very weird. There's no other job like this in America. In fact, there's no other job like this in sports. It's the only job, NFL quarterback, where the most talent you'll ever play with is often right out of college. Think about that. You come out of college, you're the most overwhelmed, you've never played in this league, and basically, that's the most talent you'll ever have. From that point forward, unless you take massive pay cuts, you'll have less talent to play with. It would be like, for the rest of us, the day you got your driver's license, they gave you the keys to a Lamborghini and said, hey, drive for a few hours through rush hour traffic in Los Angeles. No easing around a parking lot or your neighborhood. Here's a Lambo. It's 5:45. Drive cross town in Los Angeles on the 405. There's no other job like that. I mean, look at LeBron's career. The longer he's played, the better players he's played with. Kevin Durant's career. Go start looking at him. Because in the NBA and other sports, you join forces. But in the NFL, when you're the most overwhelmed, you get the most talent. Here's the keys. Go play with all these fun toys. And you really don't have your sea legs. It's almost unfair. And so we know Baker early in his career could not overcome a bad coach and average offensive line. He's not talented enough. Andrew Luck could. I think Trevor Lawrence will be able to. But Baker's like most young quarterback. Got talent, needs help. But now Baker has the number one offensive line and the number one running backs. Tight ends are outstanding. The best pure edge rusher in the NFL. They upgraded their secondary. It's go time. Baker now joins in a very elite club. I would call it the pressure club. There's 5 quarterbacks in the NFL. No more excuses. Matt Stafford, Baker Mayfield, Carson Wentz, Kyler Murray, and Daniel Jones. There's just way too much talent around you now. I'm sorry, Matt Stafford goes to a coach, Sean McVay, who has never been under 500 in his life. Matt, you got to win these games because this coach wins games. Every game Matt Stafford now plays in division is a television game. You have to wait to Thanksgiving to get on television. Every week, Rams Niners, Rams Seahawks, Rams Cardinals. These are television games. These are networks fighting for them. Baker Mayfield. You got 10 first-round picks. Three number ones. Daniel Jones. Kenny Golladay. Kyle Rudolph. You already had decent receivers and a good tight end. Carson Wentz. Was it Philly's issue? By the end of this year, we'll know if it's theirs or yours. And Kyler Murray. They have surrounded you with a bunch of sage old veterans. It's go time. No more fourth place. So now how will they react to it? How will Matt Stafford react to, oh, every single game is a TV game, and if we lose, it's on me because my coach has never been under 500. And how will Baker Mayfield be with pressure? This is a championship roster. The only thing that can hold them back is major injuries to the O-line or Myles Garrett or Baker Mayfield. And early in his career, when there was some pressure on Baker, year two wasn't great. So we'll see how it works. But it is a very unique club. Five guys, you got to win now. And you got to win big. Got to win a lot of games. Carson Wentz, Phillip Rivers won 12 games. You got to win 13. And now you have an extra game from 16 to 17. So Carson, you got to win 13 games. That's just what you got. Matt, they made all these picks for you and Jared Goff. You got to win 11, 12 games. I don't want to hear 9, 10. Don't hear it. Everything's changed. Culture's changed. Got too many good players, too many good coaches around you. So I thought this was a very interesting story. Trevor Lawrence has been, I mean, think about how good Trevor Lawrence is. He's the quarterback out of Clemson. In 2019, we didn't know who would be the number one pick in the draft. In 2020, we didn't know who would be the number one pick in the draft. But in 2019, we knew who would be the 2021 number one pick in the draft, Trevor Lawrence. 3 years out, we were like, yeah, he'll be number one in 3 years. We don't know quite in 2019, 2020. The Joe Burrow thing was late, right? His dad comes out and he says, you know, he's not award-driven. I want to win a Super Bowl at all costs. That's not who he is. There's no doubt about that. He could walk away from the NFL tomorrow and be fine. Others who know Trevor Lawrence, you know, it's just football doesn't define him. And my first reaction is, ooh, I don't know. But that was Andrew Luck. That was very much Andrew Luck, who started a book club. Andrew Luck would still be playing today if he just had a competent general manager and coach. And you have to be careful about this, because on Sundays, Trevor Lawrence did not watch the NFL. He hung out and chilled with his girlfriend, who he just married. Is that the Bradys and the MJs and the LeBrons and the Peyton Mannings, this relentless, obsessive quest and thirst, that's the outlier. I mean, look at your career. Look at ours. How many people are truly driven? Those are outlier stories. I mean, look at the Lakers, AD and LeBron. AD is just chill. He's all good, man. LeBron is laser-focused, business life. And so you look at that story with Trevor Lawrence and you go, oh, that's a concern. And then I think to myself, well, why would he have a chip on his shoulder? Trevor Lawrence admits here, he says, I don't have a huge chip. Everybody's not out to get me. Not everybody's trying to prove me wrong. I can't manufacture that. Well, that's because since he was 14, he's been the best quarterback in the country. Nobody ever has doubted Trevor Lawrence. He doesn't resent people because people have helped him. And I also think this generation of quarterbacks is different. Is that they've been protected, coached, sometimes coddled since the eighth grade. It didn't used to be like that. So we may be moving into a generation where quarterbacks aren't angry. They don't have a giant boulder on their shoulder. When I look at Trevor Lawrence, he's passionate. He gets better every year. He seems to love football, but he doesn't have to resent anybody to get there. There's a lot of different ways in 2020 to play quarterback. All shapes, all sizes, all personalities. I admit when I first saw that story, I could walk away from it tomorrow. But I look at my own kids. My kids want to be successful, but they don't have to be angry like I was in my 20s to get there. And the reality is, when I look at Trevor Lawrence, remember, Joe Montana was called Joe Cool. It was Brady. Like Michael Jordan, we never thought as Wilt as angry or Dr. J as angry or Magic as angry. And then Michael came around and we loved that story. Cut from his high school team. Brother dunked on him. We loved that relentless obsessive, manufactured chip. But the problem with that, it wore everybody out. You watched the documentary. Hell, it even wore Michael out. He quit twice. There's a lot of different ways to get there. A lot. And we may be moving into a generation of quarterbacks who don't have to hate to be great. Who don't have to resent to dominate. They've been protected, coached, monitored, sometimes coddled since the seventh grade. That's not how Phil Simms grew up. That's not how Tom Brady grew up. Listen, Eli Manning's got two Super Bowls. He could have taken a nap at halftime of games. That was his personality. Philip Rivers doesn't have any, and he was yelling and screaming and dog cussing everybody on the field. There's a lot of different ways to win, and you don't have to have the chip and resent people to do it. So very interesting story on so Justin Fields. I think pro days are nonsense. I think they're complete nonsense. Yesterday was the only pro day I can remember thinking that mattered. That mattered a little. We'll talk about that coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, veteran-owned, serving premium coffee to people who love America. Go to blackriflecoffee.com/herd. The code is herd. Check out 20% off if you put in the code. So I think pro days are nonsense. It's guys in shorts throwing the ball to college teammates. There's no pass rush. It's you against air. I don't think it means anything. I think yesterday, actually, Justin Fields, Ohio State quarterback pro day, meant something. It was his second. Kyle Shanahan was there. They got the number three pick. Chicago's head coach, Matt Nagy, was there. Decision makers were there. And it does matter. Because he's gotten the most criticism of all the quarterbacks. And what's funny about this, it is kind of interesting, that of the five first-round quarterbacks, their college careers mirror their draft process. So Trevor Lawrence was the anointed son. Number one, that's his career. Well, this whole draft process, we don't even talk about him. He's just a given. He's number one. And then there was Zach Wilson. He was the shooting star. Ooh, shoot, his career was like, who is he? He's unbelievable. Well, look at his draft process. 2 months ago, he became the guaranteed number two pick, and there was no question about it. Mac Jones, didn't know much about him. The more you hear, the more people are talking about him and the more impressed you are. That was his college career. Oh, he wasn't even a draft prospect at the start of his college career. And now he's going to go top three maybe, and that's kind of his draft process. We didn't talk about him 4 months ago being a first-round pick. And now the more you see, the more you appreciate. Then there's Trey Lance, which is we don't know much about him, and we didn't talk about him in college. And after his pro day, nobody has talked about him. He's literally the invisible quarterback. And then there's Justin Fields. And Justin Fields could be hot and cold. And his draft process has been hot and cold. He was the number two. No, that's Zach Wilson. No, he's three. No, that's Mac Jones. He's four. It's a bit of a roller coaster. But where I feel bad for Justin Fields is, and this is just the world we live in, and it's not going backwards. You can lie on the internet, and it doesn't matter. It's an avalanche. It's a forest fire. Politics, that's where Trump was so effective. He knew he could just make something up. It became truth. We're in a post-truth society. You just make stuff up about people. In the last 3 months, when people come up to me on the street, you want to know what they often ask me about? When are you going to go to Barstool? Barstool Sports. I'm not going. Well, I read a blog that I'd never heard of printed it. Another blog that I'd heard of but don't read printed it. And then every blog had it. Nobody called me. Not one person. Nobody called Barstool. Nobody called anybody. It was just truth. I was going to Barstool. By the way, they do a great job. Now, I'd never even met anybody there. But it doesn't matter. This is the Justin Fields story. It's the lie, and the lie has just been, it's become an avalanche now. The Ringer wrote a story about this. Back in February, somebody mentioned to an NFL team representative at the Senior Bowl that they asserted that Justin Fields never threw to his second read. He targeted the player that was the primary receiver and did not have the ability to go to a second receiver. Only 7 out of 225 attempts were to anybody but the number one receiver. And that just became a forest fire. And then USA Today's Doug Farrar, F-A-R-R-A-R, actually went back and with the Draft Network's Benjamin Solak, they actually did homework on it. And they found that Justin Fields actually threw beyond his first read 42 times for a rate of 19%, which is actually higher than Trevor Lawrence and Mac Jones and Trey Lance and Zach Wilson. Oh, so it's not true at all. But it doesn't matter. A politician can say something, nobody fact checks, they agree with it politically, so it's the truth, I'll retweet it. And he just makes stuff up with Justin Fields. Oh, he literally cannot get through his progressions. I mean, he cannot go to a second read. Oh, he did it more than all of them. And that is the world we live in. I'm not working at Barstool Sports. It's a fine company. But the blogs never called either of us and just asked. And nobody actually went to the tape with Justin Fields. So when your politician says something and you just retweet it because you agree with it, just realize 99% of the stuff on Twitter is just nonsense and an avalanche and a forest fire that has never been checked. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
I was moving to Vegas for like 4 months.
Yeah, that was the other one we were doing.
Yeah. I had people texting me like, you're moving to Vegas? I'm like, not that I'm aware of.
Isn't it amazing? Nobody would call us. Did anybody go to the tape with Justin Fields? I mean, I don't have time to go to the tape and look at his first and second reads.
Well, you would imagine that, I don't know, NFL team scouting departments would, since they do have access to that said tape, and it's their job to evaluate tape.
By the way, I think I have as good at NFL sources. I'm not an NFL reporter, but for a talking head, you know, you see, I do this. There was a story that Justin Fields didn't have a good work ethic. So I called all the people that would know. I called a college coach. I called a scout. I called an executive. They're like, we don't have that. Now, by the way, the person who said that got criticized. I did say that about Dwayne Haskins.
But you had a source on that.
And by the way, it was proven when I talked to Ron Rivera, who acknowledged on a podcast with me, like, some days he showed up, some days he didn't. But the bottom line is, when I heard that about Dwayne Haskins, I got a second source that I trusted. And two people that have been great in my career, they both said, dude, he doesn't work any harder than a D-lineman. Like, some days he's into it, some days he's not. But the reality with Justin Fields is we're getting a lot of stuff now that I can't get verified through anybody, and I trust my sources. Not a single person's told me his work ethic is an issue.
Well, that's why it's so confusing what's going on with Mac Jones, because it's like he was not the number two guy behind Trevor Lawrence all season long, even after the end of the season, and there have been no further games played. So what has changed other than just narrative?
Stories.
Between the end of the season and now that all of a sudden Mac Jones is a better player than Justin Fields. Yeah. When throughout the season that was not the case.
And we don't know. Justin Fields could struggle in the NFL because he goes to a bad team.
I'm not saying,
but this is the world we live in now. Nobody checks anything. If it goes to social, you think it's truth and it's a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah, but we also have some sort of, even though I'll speak for myself. I'm not a journalist. But I do have traditional training as a journalist.
Yeah.
So I do feel a bit of a responsibility to do like the bare minimum of research before I commit anything to actual thoughts. That is how I live my life. Do what you want. So LaMarcus Aldridge announced that he is retiring from the NBA. In a post to Twitter, he revealed that in the last game he played on April 10th, he was dealing with an irregular heartbeat. He said it was one of the scariest things he's ever experienced, and he decided to put his health first and end his basketball career. He had a little bit of a longer explanation of what went on. His post is on Twitter if you want to go read it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he's ending his NBA career, choosing his health over playing.
He's a nice player.
15th season in the NBA. So
he can still play.
You know, a lot of people consider him a Hall of Famer. He's one of 15 players in the history of the NBA that have over 19,000 points, over 8,000 rebounds, and over 1,000 blocks in the history of the NBA. He's made 5 All-NBA teams, 7-time All-Star.
Oh, he's a real player. When he signed with Brooklyn, both you and I said, oh, that's a nice additional piece.
Yeah, and I think that people, you know, look at names like LaMarcus Aldridge or Blake Griffin, and they expect them to be, and he was contributing. I mean, he was averaging 19.4 points per game and 8.2 rebounds per game throughout his career. He was definitely contributing to the Nets, but he's not going to be an everyday contributor. Expect him to be James Harden.
This is what great teams do when the Warriors bring on an Andre Iguodala or a David West, or when LeBron would bring on a Mike Miller. What they are is they're situationally smart veteran players. And in one game in a series, if LaMarcus Aldridge got a little hot in the third quarter of game 6 of a series, and just that's the difference between winning and losing a series. And that's what he now provided, and now he's gone.
Yes. But congrats on an incredible career. Yeah. And, you know, at this point, obviously, he wanted to be with a team that's, you know, contending for a championship.
Of course.
When you've played 15 years, when you have the resume he has and you've made the money that he has, you have to prioritize your health over, you know, winning a championship in this year. So the Mavericks were down by 2 with less than 2 seconds remaining last night against the Grizzlies.
Saw it live.
On the final play, Luka Doncic got the inbounds pass, split defenders, and stumbled and put up a shot as time expired. Let's take a listen to what happened next.
Doncic comes and gets it. Got a bounce and will fling it on up. And he hit it! He hit it to put the game in overtime! He was crouching when he let it go! Luka just won the game with an incredible shot as he split the double team of Brooks and Valanciunas and leaning in to score!
He's a great player.
I love those calls. I mean, that was sent up with a prayer. Let's not act like that was some dagger shot, but it went in, and that's all that matters. And I love when Luka gets he's a little bit more angst than Zion.
Oh, God, he complains about everything.
A little more angst than Zion.
He's not as joyful as Zion.
But he does have that youthful quality to him.
Oh, and let me just say this. I get tired of this lucky shot. So what are the two shots that have been lucky in the last month? Jalen Suggs at Gonzaga.
Yeah.
And Luka. Is it luck, or are they easily the two best players on their team?
No.
I don't buy that it's luck.
I couldn't make that shot.
But I think for him, it's not a low percentage shot.
I mean, at least Jalen Suggs was shooting. He's falling over.
Okay, like, how come all the, quote, lucky shots to win games, why are they often by great players?
Listen, luck favors the prepared.
Thank you.
I'm not saying that Luka isn't capable of making that shot. I'm just saying he's a little bit of a prayer. There's like a little bit. He throws it up with one hand. It's like a pop-a shot.
Yeah, but there's two different prayers. There's God, I want to win the Powerball tomorrow.
Yeah, and then there's God, I want to win the Powerball, so I'm going to go buy a Powerball ticket.
Yeah, or God, could it be sunnier tomorrow? That's a baby prayer. That's not a huge prayer.
He's not in his prayer closet, all right? But there was a little hope with that. That's all I'm saying. It was a great shot, not taking anything away from it.
I am defending great players who hit shots.
I agree.
Because Skip always says that's lucky, and my take is,
I don't think the Jalen Suggs one was lucky.
Either do I.
I think it was an incredible shot, but I don't think it was lucky.
I think he's taken it 1,000 times at practice.
Look, it is a little sprinkle of luck on that one. Just a tiny, tiny little fairy dust sprinkle on that one. He had 29 points. They only had 4 points in the first half, which was incredible. They're 7th in the West are the Mavs, and he's having an incredible season, averaging 28.6 points and 8 rebounds a game. It was really fun. He's just so fun to watch. Finally, many expect Mac Jones to be the 49ers pick at number 3 this year. But if they go with a different quarterback and Jones falls in the draft, Doug Flutie thinks he would be a great fit with the Patriots.
Mac Jones could potentially still be available. And Mac impresses me as a Tom Brady type of guy that is cerebral and doesn't make mistakes and is thinking 2 steps ahead and that can beat you with strictly his arm. And Mac is a lot more athletic, I think, than people realize he is. He's able to move and buy a little time and do some other things. But, you know, he's the type of guy that may be available.
I don't like to start out with the comps to Tom Brady.
By the way, the other thing is, can we give Brady respect? Brady was drafted by a Major League Baseball team. If you've ever stood next to Tom Brady, he's 6'5". Brady is butt hips. Mac Jones is 6'2", 217. Brady is...
Yeah, but Brady didn't look like that coming out. But we've all seen it.
Tom is big.
Tom is Can we just make a rule? We don't compare people to Tom Brady. Like, that's just, I like that rule. We are going to do comps once all these guys are drafted. And I'm demanding we take Tom Brady off the list of comps. Okay. And we love Flutie, and obviously he's looking at this from a different perspective. And I understand what he's saying, because a lot of people are saying this about Mac Jones, that he is very cerebral. And as we know, that's a huge part of being successful in the NFL. But Flutie actually said something else pretty interesting, because we haven't talked about him, Ian Book. If Mac Jones isn't available, which we're assuming he's not going to be available for the Patriots at 15.
Yeah.
Ian Book is kind of interesting.
I know Ian Book is Baker Mayfield without the arm. He is a good college quarterback. He will back up in the NFL. Very much Case Keenum. Ian Book will play, but he doesn't have the arm strength. He can't get the ball down the field.
I don't think he's a franchise quarterback.
No, he's not.
But I think he will have a nice backup career.
Yeah, Case Keenum's had a great, made a lot of money. You can make Case Keenum a little undersized, doesn't have the down the field arm. That's Ian Book. Mac Jones has a better arm than Ian.
No, I think Mac Jones is better than Ian Book, yes. But this is an interesting name that we haven't talked about
We just throw Brady out.
No Brady. I refuse to allow it. I am making the rules, and this is the rule. We're not comparing anyone to Tom Brady.
Yeah, let's just get out of that.
He's the ultimate outlier, sixth round pick, the greatest to ever do it. He's just in a separate category. We don't compare anybody to Michael Jordan in the NBA. When guys get drafted, we're like, oh, look, next is Michael Jordan. Nope. We don't do next LeBron James. We're not doing Tom Brady.
There you go. Joy of the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
So, LeVar Arrington is going to disagree with me. Former Pro Bowl linebacker, Fox Sports NFL analyst. He joins me, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. So, I look at Jadeveon Clowney. Years ago, the Seahawks, when Russell Wilson was on a rookie contract, they went out and got Percy Harvin. Now, Percy had major migraine headache issues. They didn't get him for 17 games, LeVar. What they got him for was, hey, situationally, you put him in motion, the safety has to, you have to guard, you have to defend Percy Harvin because of his speed. And he didn't play much. He was just a random individual situational player. And I look at Jadeveon Clowney and I say, they're not getting him for September. What they're getting him for is a big Steeler game, make a play. So I like a one-year deal with Clowney. You are not as high on Jadeveon Clowney.
I'm a Jadeveon Clowney fan. I'm just not a Jadeveon Clowney apologist. I'm a realist. All right. And so we have to take a look at this. And what season is this going to be for him, Colin? I think
eight.
It's eight. This will be eight.
Yeah.
Have you seen Jadeveon Clowney dominate as a NFL football player?
Never.
So to me, I can't say I'm high on him, when there would be no reason to say, wow, he's going to Cleveland to be a situational player with Myles Garrett. Let Myles Garrett carry the load and Jadeveon can play situational football. Isn't that what he was able to do for his entire first part of his career with arguably top three all-time defensive ends, defensive linemen, defensive players in the history of our game?
Yeah, J.J. Watt.
Yeah, J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
If it didn't work out with J.J. Watt for you to be a dominant force, then how is it going to work out with Myles Garrett?
All right.
I'm just saying, it's this process of elimination to me. So it's not that I'm not high on him. I'm just saying that it's not feasible to think that Jadeveon Clowney, situationally, like Percy Harvin, I'm sorry, or three down guy, he's going to be a difference maker for the Cleveland Browns. At best, he will be what he has been, a serviceable, good pro on the team that he plays for, and you hope that he can fight through the pain of the injuries and the surgeries that he's had during the course of his career, and that he can have some production to assist where he can assist as a role player on this team.
Wow. I like that. It's very good, strong take. Very, very. That's why we put you on all the time. Very good take. Okay, how about this?
I learn from the best. You know, you've taught me well, Colin. You know what I mean? I just pay attention.
Now, one of the things I've talked about for years, if you look at the quarterbacks that have really flourished in the NFL, it's a lot of chip on your shoulder, guys. Big Ben was overlooked by Ohio State. Had to go to Miami of
Overlooked.
Ohio. Yeah, Russell Wilson, Dak, Overlooked. Brady, Montana.
Overlooked.
And then
overlooked.
So the quotes are coming out from Trevor Lawrence's high school coach and his dad, which is, he could give up football. He's a happy kid. Football doesn't define him. And my initial reaction is, whoa, 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 whoa. And then I think to myself, well, that was Andrew Luck. And Andrew Luck was successful. His team was just incompetent, and he got the crap beat out of him and had to retire. Are you worried at all when you hear football doesn't define Trevor Lawrence?
Have you guys taken a look at Trevor Lawrence? The hair, the jaw structure, the height. You talked about Tom Brady being a looker. Please, this guy, he's a looker, all right? When they bred Trevor Lawrence. When Trevor was born, they were like, football Jesus, here's what a quarterback for a football team is supposed to look like. And all he did was just continue to grow into it. The kid lost two games at Clemson. Two games? Sheesh. He's a kid that has a tremendous plan. He has a tremendous support system. And when you have support, I said this earlier on First Things First, right? A man with a plan is much more dangerous than a man with a chip on his shoulder. I think I'm going to take the man with the plan versus the man with the chip on his shoulder every single time, because they are taking whatever that energy that they have and they're directing it and focusing it on one singular purpose. And I look at Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence doesn't need to do anything to convince anybody other than what he has shown you already. And I think that that's a testament to how quiet it's been surrounding the fanfare, the criticisms. Quarterbacks are always players, top players, number one draft picks. There's always somebody who digs deep to find criticisms of a player. He might be the first one that I haven't heard anything.
Yeah.
So, and you know what? It's because it's rightfully so. Yeah. He's not an Andrew Luck. He's Trevor Lawrence. He's not a Russell Wilson. He's Trevor Lawrence. He's not any of those other names that you named. I heard the whole Tom Brady's comparisons on all that stuff. You're right, Joy. Leave him alone. Leave him out of it. He's the greatest of all time. But I'll tell you what, this is Trevor Lawrence. And he's going to a market where he's going to have to fight every step of the way to prove that he is a franchise quarterback and a great quarterback. But he's the type of guy with the right demeanor, the right idea, the right self-identity, and the plan to be able to go in there with Urban Meyer and turn this thing into something nice in Jacksonville. We know it can be good in Jacksonville. We've seen it. Mark Brunell showed you it could be possible. Get a good running back, Fred Taylor. Get a Bocelli, an anchor man on the offensive line. Get a couple guys, Donovan, Darius, and some Brackens, and some Sean Stroud on the defense side of the ball. And you got something. Yeah. It could happen, and Urban Meyer's the guy to do it, and Trevor Lawrence is probably most certainly the guy that you can lean on at that position to get it started.
All right, but 90 seconds left. Give me the best defensive player in the draft and why.
Micah Parsons is easily the best defensive player in the draft. It doesn't take a genius, a rocket scientist, an expert to see that his skill set and his abilities and his awareness and his understanding of the game. I compare him, if Ray Lewis and Von Miller could have a baby, it would be Micah Parsons. He gets to the ball. He's getting off of the pile every single time. He led the team in tackles as a freshman, first time ever.
Wow.
And he's a former defensive end from high school. He can pass rush as well, just as well as someone of the caliber of a Von Miller. So you get the best of both worlds. You can only mess up by messing up. You put him out there, that's a win.
Yeah, his tape is great, by the way.
It's amazing. It jumps off. And he wears them sticks, you know, represent, you know, hey, Cullen, represent them sticks, baby. You know what I mean? Represent them sticks, baby. I know that's the network, but you know what I mean? I did do it with that 11 back in the day. You see that Penn State, baby.
LeVar Arrington. By the way, LeVar, TJ Hushmanzada, Plaxico Burress host, up on game Saturdays, Fox Sports Radio.
One to three. Absolutely.
Eastern. Good seeing you, bud.
Thanks for the plug.
You bet. LeVar Arrington. Good stuff. Coming up next, have the Nets become the Clippers? Interesting thoughts next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good to have you in. You know, last year I fell for the Clippers, but they were the noisiest team in the NBA. So remember, first it started, they bring Kawhi and Paul George. The press conference is crazy town. And then all we heard for the first 3 months, they're going to take over LA, billboards everywhere. And then all of a sudden you started hearing stories about, yeah, favorable treatment to Paul George. It's not going very well. And then everybody was missing games and there were chemistry issues. They never played together. And then there was the Lou Williams hot wing story. And then you looked up and they just didn't have any chemistry. And it was just too noisy. And we all knew they were talented. I fell for it. I'm like, that's the deepest team in the NBA when they're healthy. But the problem is they never played together. And chemistry is hard to build in a relationship. Forget a team of alphas. Now you look at Kevin Durant and the Warriors, or at Kevin Durant and the Nets. They're becoming the Clippers. They never play together. The narrative is, oh, when they play together, they're great. They play together 7 games. They're also becoming incredibly noisy. So before the season started, we don't need a coach. And then the season starts and Kyrie takes like a 2-week sabbatical. And then they make a massive trade and give up their bench for James Harden. And then you get these stories like LaMarcus Aldridge just retired. And last night, they had two last night. LaMarcus Aldridge retired wasn't the only story. Kyrie Irving had 37 last night and did not play the final 8 minutes of a close game against the Sixers because they wanted to make the bench happy. And I'm like, oh God, somebody's going to resent that. But the Clippers and the Nets have some very unique comparisons. Super talented rosters. Don't play together much. We assume they're veterans. Not all veterans get along. Secondly, they both have a great player who has struggled in the postseason. Paul George, Clippers, great player. But Paul has, these are legendary struggles. Last year in the playoffs, he was bad. And James Harden, great player. But he's not the same player in the playoffs. They also both have stars. Their best player is Kawhi and Kevin Durant. And they're similar. They're quirky. They're great guys to add to a team. But there is no proof either you can build around their personality. The opposite of LeBron. LeBron has shown time and time again, here's the weight of the world in your shoulders, and he can just emotionally handle it. He can physically handle it. LeBron's the rock of the NBA. I mean, just emotionally, physically. I mean, he's getting older, getting banged up a little bit. But you can build around LeBron. You can build around D-Wade. There's players you can build around. Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard are mercenaries. That can't be disputed. You add them to good Golden State, Toronto, San Antonio cultures. You add them, they can win. They can get you titles. But there is no proof you can build around them. Kevin Durant would not confront Westbrook in Oklahoma City, so he just bailed. He would not confront Draymond Green with his issues in Golden State, so he just bailed. He's more of a bailer. He's a wanderer. In fact, people who like him call him a wanderer. So when you start looking at the Nets and the Clippers, the stars are kind of similar, quirky. They were both going to surpass LeBron as the best player in the league. That was for years, that was Kevin Durant. And that last couple years, that's been Kawhi. Neither really is a force of nature you can build around. There's no precedent. They both have a Harden, a Paul George, a great Hall of Fame player who struggled in the postseason. They're never healthy. They never play together, and they're noisy as hell. I mean, just Brooklyn's just story after story, and the Clippers were story. I talked to Doc Rivers about this on a podcast, and he said, you know, I knew we were in trouble. Like, I kept telling the guys in the bubble, like, guys, we're not playing together. We've never played together this year. And remember, we kept saying, when they do, they're great. They're 12-1. Yes, when these guys play together, they're great. They haven't. And I look at this story. Last night's classic. Aldridge retires, which he should if he's got a heart problem. And Kyrie doesn't play the last 8 minutes against the team they'll probably meet in the Eastern Conference Finals. That's weird. That's noisy. And he had a great night. Jermichael Finley, former Aaron Rodgers critic from time to time, and also a great tight end. Also a former Texas Longhorn. Sark has taken over that program. I have a good feeling about what's going to happen with Texas football. And as I've often said, there are three programs in the country that I think college football is better when they win. The Miami Hurricanes, the USC Trojans, and the Texas Longhorns. The sport is just better. They're just a big brand. There's a sex appeal. Alabama's got no sex appeal. They're just great. But the Miami Hurricanes, Texas Longhorns, USC, the sport feels big city. It feels big. That's coming up. USC Texas is the biggest college football game I've ever gone to. There were like celebrities all over the field. McConaughey, Clemens, Snoop is unbelievable. Hour two next.